Hello and welcome to Monocle on Culture. I'm Robert Bound, and today we're getting into the spirit of all things Yule, maybe not cool, by giving some new festive albums a spin. This year's Christmas crooners include big stars such as Casey Musgraves, Bryan Adams and Robbie Williams, a few blasts from the past like Chicago and the Lighthouse Family, and even Rob Halford from Judas Priest has put his dulcet tones to a Yuletide rocker called Celestial. Mariah Carey is reissuing her hit album Merry Christmas as it turns 25 years old. John Legend has teamed up with Kelly Clarkson for a new take on the slightly creepy Baby It's Cold Outside. Kanye West has been rumoured to be dropping an LP on Christmas Day called Jesus Is Born, No Lie. And the footballer turned TV pundit Chris Kamara has released a few Christmas classics too. It sounds like everyone's having a pop, but which ones will be rocking around the Christmas tree? To separate the wheat from the chaff, the Pogues from the Christmas in Blobby Land, Slade from the Crazy Frogs. Today I'm joined by chief rock and pop critic for The Times, Will Hodgkinson, and the broadcaster and DJ Georgie Rogers. Welcome both to the programme.
Hi.
Thank you very much.
We had quite a Christmassy sound check, so I hope we're in a kind of decent Christmas spirit. It's a year since we did this programme, all three of us together last year, like a sort of, I don't know, like making a beautiful Christmas album of our own here. Well, Studio One here at Midori House. Do you remember that?
Yeah, well, Georgie just said that Krangbin had a special Christmas album out.
Yeah, and I think you maybe had the line of the night about having Shatner to yourself.
Do you remember? No,
it's all coming back. I think I remember saying that. I regretted it. It's come back to haunt me like a horrible Christmas
like
turkey.
A bad smell.
Yeah.
Let's start things off. And we're going to start things off with Robbie Williams. I don't even know. Well, actually, we don't need. Who needs William Shatner when you've got Robbie Williams? Let's hear a bit of it. Doing a duet with the boxer Tyson Fury.
Grab that sheriff from the office. Nick the champagne. Let's get off it. Just in time for Roland's
eye. And I don't know whether we could recognise the voice of Tyson Fury there, but we could certainly hear Robbie Williams sounding like Robbie Williams on his, unbelievably, his first ever Christmas record. Georgie, can we believe it?
I can't really believe it.
Can we conscience it? Is it okay?
Not really. I think it's all right. Am I right in saying that Robbie Williams is kind of like the OG Michael Bublé? Because he used to do those like Frank Sinatra standards, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
Quite early on in his career.
Yeah.
With the big band and everything. And listening through to this record, all the covers are actually, I think they'd be put on at Christmas time. I think people, you know, family favourite would be into it.
Robbie's friendly, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tyson Fury does sound, he's got a set of pipes on him, on that, if you listen to the full track.
Sounds quite nice.
Yeah, but I mean,
that's Bad Sharon.
But terrible lyrics. Mm. Grab that Sharon from the office, nick the champagne, let's get off it, just in time for Auld Lang Syne.
Horrible. I don't want to go to
I'm
that
right.
office party.
Yeah.
I don't want to go to that one.
I think I'm all right, thanks.
Elsewhere on the record, he duets with Rod Stewart. I listened to that one. That's good.
Yes.
They're good, aren't they? Bryan Adams. We can't put thumbs up and thumbs down. We'll just have to make a noise. Jamie Cullum.
Yeah.
That's not bad. This is an interesting one, an interesting international play. He's teaming up with Helene Fischer, the Schlagerboom star from Germany, who's one of the biggest pop stars in the world you've never heard of. She's amazing. So it's kind of quite, and the aforementioned heavyweight boxer Tyson Fury. So a mixed bag. It's also a double album. Does it need to be, Will?
Well,
a sharp intake of breath around the Yuletide desk.
I mean, first of all, I would say Robbie Williams doing a Christmas album is manifest destiny.
Yeah.
I'm very surprised it hasn't happened already. There's something about him which is, you know, I know this sounds mean, but it's a bit of a shiny shirted pub singer done good.
Mm.
And also, it's very much like the Rat Pack goes to John Lewis.
That's
good. Buys a silver bauble.
Yes, yes.
You know, kind of tasteful enough for your mum. Is that
kind of
thing?
Yeah.
It's absolutely, it's like Georgie said, it's absolutely harmless. There's nothing, apart from, I think, I can't really forgive him for masquerading Merry Christmas, Everybody, because I love Slade.
Yes, and that's one of the best songs ever.
Yeah, and I really wish he hadn't done that. But when he does, you know, Winter Wonderland or Let It Snow, that is Robbie Williams.
Yeah.
You know, he's an entertainer, he's got a good voice, and this is what you expect from him. So to me, it's breaking no new ground, and you'd hate it to. You know,
yeah, exactly.
It's doing exactly what you want it to. It's fine.
That's a good point, actually. Christmas albums need not break new ground. Although we are going to
not when they're Robbie Williams.
No, when they're Robbie Williams. Okay, so Robbie Williams, we're happy with that. Maybe it doesn't need to be a double album, but Manifest Destiny, indeed. Molly Birch's Christmas album. I sort of scratched my head slightly about this one, but here's a song called Holiday Dreaming. Georgie Rogers, I didn't really know who Molly Birch was, but I like this record.
Yeah, I had to Google her.
You made
her,
a face.
Actually.
You made a face, though.
No, I had to Google her because I didn't know who she was either. She's like quite American country.
Kind
star,
of, but there's a nice, there's a sort of nice kind of lo-fi kind of Sinetienne sound to some of this record.
Yeah, a little jazziness too.
Yeah,
I'd
yeah. I don't have a problem with the overall recording of it. Like, she's got a beautiful voice. There's lots of lovely textures in the record. But I don't know, there was just something about it. Just like it was, this would be very much in the background for me. It's be me sort of like after a lot of wine sliding down a radiator.
Okay.
Not really
You're
sure.
You're bad Sharon.
Yeah. Very bad Sharon at this point. I don't know, I just found it a bit dull. And then the Auld Lang Syne one, I mean, that could soundtrack a funeral, not a New Year's Eve party.
Okay.
it's not going to get me going.
Okay.
I found it all a bit dull.
Okay. What do you think, Will? Because you mentioned John Lewis in your first answer.
No,
so
you know
afraid.
What? I'm sorry, but I'm going to go the other way here.
Okay.
Really?
I loved it.
Yeah.
I thought it was very sad. And I find Christmas quite sad. Mm. You know, there's a melancholy to Christmas. And I thought that this captured that. I thought she had a touch of Nina Simone to her. It is very languorous and, you know, it's very gentle. But, you know, there's a song called Snow Queen of Texas, which is a Mamas and Papas cover.
Yeah.
I love that. And then there's Hard Candy Christmas, a Dolly Parton song. You know, I really liked this. I thought there's quite unusual songs that she'd chosen.
Good song choices, yeah.
Auld Lang Syne, I think you're right. I mean,
that
you don't need that.
It finishes it.
Don't need
like,
that.
It doesn't leave you in a good
no.
place.
No, but it's very... I kind of like the wallowing in misery.
Okay.
You know, it's a sort of, you know, that kind of melancholic woe is me Christmas feel that you do get.
Yeah.
It's this kind of bittersweet Christmas, isn't it? You know, it's always, you know, you get this sense of what you've lost.
Yeah, so, Holly and I were trying to decipher the album cover art, and it's Molly on the front cover looking a bit sad with a big ginger cat. I didn't really get the, you know,
well,
that
maybe
that
that's,
sings through the
that's
record.
Her companion, the ginger cat, for this Christmas, and so that's why she's a bit gloomy.
It's just her and the cat.
Yeah, could be.
Oh,
cat lady.
Poor Molly. I feel like she could do so much better.
Well, I liked it.
Yeah, okay.
I didn't hate it. I will add, you know.
Okay,
there
so it's not
moments,
a New Year's Eve record, but it could
most
be.
But it's a pleasant
It's a pleasant Christmas record, not
Boxing Day record.
Boxing Day
record. Brave for Boxing
Day.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
Yeah, when you've overeaten, you're feeling a bit sorry for yourself.
Yeah, it'll forever be. It'll be sort of the jacket potato with lots of turkey on the side. Will forever be the Proustian Madeleine for Molly Birch.
It will.
Okay, let's move on to some rock. There's Rob Halford in his Gay Apparel from Judas Priest. Well, what do we think of... this is not the first of Rob Halford's Christmas albums, I think.
I've got to say, for me, it was too much. I mean, you know, for the... I know I'm going to shock
Come
you here.
Come back, Molly.
Come back, Molly. All is forgiven. You know, I liked the darkness when they did it. I thought if you didn't do kind of silly Christmas heavy rock... The thing is, it's like, you know... On one level, you know, you've got Away in a Manger, this kind of prog rock version.
Yeah.
But then he really ruins it. At the end, there's this song called Protected by the Light, which is like this really earnest ballad. Hmm. Maybe it's a bit Christian or something. I'm not quite sure. But, you know, if you're going to do a jokey, heavy rock Christmas album, I think you've got to acknowledge that the whole thing is very tongue-in-cheek.
Yeah.
And you've really got to tie your colours to that mast. And I felt that it was a little bit, you know, sort of sailing between vaguely... serious and absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, Deck the Halls. I mean, he sounds like he's having quite a good time with that. Not using his full range, which is surprisingly broad.
Well, I think later on he does get the chance to, you know, really whip out the falsetto. But, you know, in that moment,
apparently
he's kind of quite restrained.
He's wrapped some tinsel around it this year.
If he can find enough, yeah.
I don't know how this show got like this. I think it's perfectly on point. Georgie, Rob Halford, what do we think?
Yeah, you're right. You know, the William Shatner was just mock. It was just tongue in cheek.
He was great
all the way through, yeah. Right? This, yeah, maybe it kind of errs between the earnest and then the ridiculous. But yeah, I mean, quite like how they've obviously raided the archive of sound effects to make it feel as Christmassy as possible.
Yeah.
And new takes on Christmas carols. I do love a good Christmas carol, so this is kind of quite fun. Definitely some moments on there, like you said, the sort of like Metallica Nothing Else Matters version of Away in the Manger.
That is obviously a high point.
Yeah, never thought I would hear on a record. But yeah, it's fun.
Yeah. So we've gone in a very different direction with this, right? Because this is kind of a some of the first proponents of heavy metal doing a Christmas album or their lead singer. That's obviously a very tough way to do it. You can have a crooner like Robbie kind of doing it very successfully and unsurprisingly, but when your genre is heavy rock or heavy metal, how do you dance effortlessly between the snowflakes?
Well, it's not easy.
It's not easy.
We should ask Rob.
Okay, yeah. Let's ask Rob.
I think my 94-year-old grandma would be moshing in her seat.
Yeah. The thing is, I guess the melodies and the backbone of so many Christmas carols are so good and well known, if not great, then very well known. You can kind of almost do anything to them. They're like Beatles songs, right? They're so familiar.
Yeah, they are.
Difficult to ruin.
Well, the other thing about heavy metal is that heavy metal is actually very musical. Mm. You know, it's really technical. It's full of melody. You know, a lot of the sort of big Swedish pop songwriters like Max Martin, they had heavy metal backgrounds because they learned how to do these complex progressions and scales. So Rob Halford can certainly handle it, you know, and all the arrangements are complicated metal arrangements that work. But I felt that because it's clearly a joke, then you can just go for it, you know. And I think The Darkness did do that pretty well with their
Merry Christmas stuff. Don't Let the Bells End.
Yeah, I mean, that was just so silly.
It was good, yeah.
And it was fun, you know. And I think Rob is kind of showing us that he's really good as a singer at the same time as doing something completely and utterly ridiculous.
Do you think the hardcore Judas fans, though, will stick this on at Christmas?
It's hard to see.
Yeah,
I mean, in a
sure.
way, you don't want, you know, in a way, you don't want Judas Priest to be turning the whole thing into a mockery, do you?
No.
I don't know. You know, there's definitely humour in the metal community, but...
A confusing Christian message as well with celebrating the birth of Christ with a band called Judas Priest.
It's hard to know which way to go.
It's hard to know which way to go, isn't it? We're scratching our heads.
Best not to think about it.
I'm giving Rob the benefit of the doubt. Fair Celestial enough. By Rob Halford. Out now. Kacey Musgraves is sort of... she's doing a big Christmas special on Amazon Prime. That's obviously always already in the bag. So she's culled a kind of album from guest performances and bits and bobs. This is from it, and it's called Christmas Makes Me Cry.
And I know that they say, have a happy holiday. And every year, I swear I sincerely try. Oh, but Christmas, it always makes me cry.
Oh, brandy butter wouldn't melt.
I love Kacey Musgraves. Golden Hour is one of my favourite albums from last year. She did a really good Christmas album, I think last year, called Very Kacey Christmas, which is perfect. It was that perfect blend of kitsch and really good singing. This one, didn't find it funny in the slightest. It had all these little skits in it, like with James Corden. And if you see the Amazon special, do you remember when Bill Murray did a Christmas special? And you think, nothing Bill Murray can do will be bad. And it just fell flat.
Yeah.
It felt like that. I was really disappointed, actually. You know, the Christmas Makes Me Cry is my favourite song on it. And the Lana Del Rey duet is really nice. But I felt there's a lot of jokey stuff and canned laughter, or you know, maybe it's audience laughter, but it's just one of those things that just isn't funny.
So, it sounds like it's come from a can. It sounds like audience laughter from the mid-1970s.
Yeah, which might be and it might be deliberate, but at the same time, it just becomes quite annoying. You know, when you're having these kind of not very funny skits that don't really work.
Yeah.
So I felt it was like, yeah, she's had all the success duly because she's so good, and I think that this was calling in lots of famous friends. And doing something that doesn't work as nearly as well as the people involved probably thought it would.
So we heard Christmas Makes Me Cry, which you quite like, Will, erring on the side of the melancholy Christmas.
Yeah, I like
again.
That melancholy Christmas stuff.
Okay. We can have a hug after this. If
I'm just going to have a little cry.
Okay.
And then go to bed.
What can we do, Georgie, with Will? Maybe we can play him this. It's new from Bryan Adams. It's Reggae Christmas.
Oh, God.
We're having a good time too.
Right. Okay, this is from Christmas. Simply named Christmas EP from Bryan Adams. That song's called Reggae Christmas, as you can tell, because it sounded exactly like the Toots and the Maytals. Georgie, what did you think?
I'm sorry, but I listened to the EP on the way in and I just wanted to go and crawl into a hole and die.
Okay. Not a grotto, not a grotto, just a hole.
It was hideous.
Okay.
There was the second track. Is that like for a children's TV show or something? I just don't even know. And just then the reggae Christmas. I don't really have many words, to be honest.
Okay. I think the whole thing
I think is just a bit of a like, hey, let's do a Christmas thing. It's quite slapdash.
Well, it's a 5-track EP, isn't it? So
horrible.
It's not a full,
yeah.
It hasn't done the full double album Robbie Williams thing that we started off the programme with.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know. I think for Bryan Adams, he should be doing stuff that's a little bit better than that, personally.
Well, I think also it's a reminder that millionaire rock stars spend Christmas in the Caribbean.
And
yeah, they're really,
because they've got money to go on.
They've got money to do it. So he goes off to his house in Martinique and they inflict on us this absolute nonsense. You know, it's like when Sting and Shaggy made an album together. It's just a punishment.
But I mean, Sting came from a good place doing reggae exceptionally well with the Police, didn't he? I mean, he came. I thought they were a great band. Certainly their roots and that kind of stuff. But you didn't think it bore it out when he finally did the long-awaited Shaggy album.
I think we probably can't go down that rabbit hole. But I would just say for Bryan Adams, you know, this certainly doesn't undo the damage that, you know, 11 weeks of Everything I Do For You did on the nation's psyche.
Interesting, you've both...
I love that song.
I still love that song.
Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves,
yeah.
Always.
Fair enough.
Such a great film.
Locksley! interesting, you both, you wished you'd fallen down a hole and you talked about not wanting to go down a particular rabbit hole when talking about Bryan Adams' Reggae Christmas. I think that's a neat analogy and a neat way to move on to the next record. What do you think?
I think that's enough on Reggae Christmas.
Okay. Yeah. This next one we've got is a compilation from Merge Records. It's called You Wish. It features Mikkel Cronin, William Tyler, Shout Out Louds, Will Butler, etc., etc. The song we're going to hear is Christmas in Prison. Ooh. Hmm. By Hiss Gold Messenger and Lucinda Williams. Okay, how do Merge Records fare from this? Is this kind of too good to be Christmassy?
Well, it's creative, that's the thing. Yeah. You know, generally these albums are an excuse to just do the odd songs, aren't they? And also just something really silly. And these songs are, you know, there's a lot of good songs on there. I mean, William Tyler's a really, really good acoustic guitarist, and he just has this song called Jesus Christ. And there's this song called by Coco Hames, who was in a Nashville band called The Etts. And she does a really, really good song called Keep Your Christmas, which is basically a breakup song. And, you know, at Christmas saying, right, I've had enough of you, off you, you know, swing your hook. And so I'm guessing that what happened is that Merge, which is this good American indie label, said to all its artists, just do whatever you want. And they came up with this stuff. And I thought there's some really nice stuff on here. Okay, it's not, you know, it's not necessarily going to go alongside Merry Christmas Everybody and the, you know, Christmas canon. But it's a fun listen. And this, I thought there's some fun ideas, actually. I liked it.
Lucinda, wonderful to hear the voice of Lucinda Williams on a Christmas song.
Sounds great.
Who would have thought that would happen? Georgie?
One called Christmas in Prison.
Yeah, right. I know. what did you think of this one?
Yeah, I liked it. As you were saying, it's 30 years of Merge and they gave us artists like Connor Oberst and Arcade Fire and Wyoke, lots of artists that I really love. I especially like the White Christmas one by Apex Manor, which was just quite alt and really beautiful. And then the Will Butler track, who's in Arcade Fire, Love Asked Me to Stay. That was really stunning. Yeah, it's like not the most cheery Christmas record, but there's definitely nice ideas in there. And on the kind of alt indie side of things,
yeah,
it's up there. Like some of the tracks on there are definite, you know, they're decent offerings for sure.
And they're sort of opaquely Christmas rather than specifically Christmas.
Yeah, but they're about, that's what's good about it, because they're all about the ideas that come up for Christmas. Christmas in Prison, of course, loads of people spend Christmas in prison. You know, it's you know, Keep Your Christmas. People split up, you know, at Christmas and from their, you know, boyfriends and girlfriends and
hugs
so
still available. Will.
Yeah. Heartbreak Hotel.
People cry. People suffer.
Right.
And also, there's one called Green Christmas.
Yeah.
You know. Yes. Just very topical.
It is.
It's good.
It avoids the jingle bells and talks about the really sad issues at Christmas in a very beautiful way. And
in a nice way.
You are both.
It's not really sad. It's kind of fun.
Okay, Chicago. This is their fourth, I think, Christmas album. It's very difficult to navigate your way around Chicago's back catalogue as it is. Anyway, let's have a slice of Here We Come A-Caroling. Something about that reminded me of the fake band that that was at the end of Alias Smith and Jones, where they used to play themselves out on a little Bon Tempe organ that they got from Argos. That sounded like that. Or there was an elevator missing its soundtrack.
Well, to me, it reminded me of you know, if you wanted into a sort of chain hotel in Las Vegas and they got the band playing in the corner. Yeah. I can't believe this is Chicago.
No,
you know,
right.
The great jazz funk band who started off that genre, really.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I know they went into kind of cheesy 80s schmaltz, but Chicago did incredible things.
Yeah.
And now they're doing this real, like, Bon Tempe organ, like you say. I mean, it is it's full on, you know, it's absolutely kind of, you know, right next to the palm tree by the toilet, you know, by the bar.
Okay. Firm but fair from Will Hodgkinson. Georgie, do you bring them closer to the stage or further away from the loos?
No, definitely keep them by the loos, I think. I had to go because I was like, I know that they're massively influential and incredibly famous and Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and all of that. And then I realised, they're the ones that do If You Leave Me Now.
Yeah.
That big power ballad.
Yeah.
Yeah, this album, I read that instead of recording it in a studio, they basically used an innovative mobile
Hotel
recording
lounge
setup, yeah, to make the album while on tour. And you can hear it.
Yeah.
It sounds really badly produced and made record.
There's nothing going on in the back. It's all kind of treble. There's no kind of rhythm section. There's nothing going on in the back there.
It's not good.
The songs aren't there. Just the whole thing. It was a bit of a struggle to get through it. Surely 37 albums in, they should have just gone and made a
37
proper
albums
record.
In.
I think they were wearing matching Hawaiian shirts while they're doing it.
They were just very close, very close to Bryan Adams' Christmas Island. Not Christmas Island, but where he spends Christmas.
Well, I think this one was, you know, it's more like a chain hotel in Chanhassen than the Martinique. But yeah. I hear what you're saying.
Well, we've had pretty good time talking about Robbie Williams, Molly Birch, Rob Halford, Casey Musgraves, Bryan Adams, various artists from Merge Records. And Chicago, finally, saving your best for last. Actually, it's you two that are going to save your best for last, because this is the time, part of the show, where you're going to tell us about the things you wanted to talk about, the Christmas gifts you brought for our listeners. Will, yours is Libera, who are a South London choral society.
Yeah, they're a bunch of kids from South London. I mean, this is as traditional as it gets.
Yep.
This is just choral versions of songs you know, you know, back to front. You know, it's In the Bleak Midwinter, it's Carol of the Bells, In Dulce Jubilo, all of those ones, you know, and it's absolutely straight. There's no reason, in a way, to hear it, you know, because it's been done a million times before. It's just really nice. I mean, there's something about Christmas which I feel is, you know, it's a time for reassuring things, like, you know, falling asleep in front of the Gavin and Stacey Christmas special, or, you know, eating too much and arguing with your family, all that kind of stuff. And this very much falls into that category. It's just very nice, choral singing, the kind of stuff you'd like to hear at midnight mass.
Perfect. This is the track you've chosen is my favourite, Carol in the Bleak Midwinter. Oh, it's beautiful stuff, isn't it? Actually, you can't really beat a children's choir as well, specifically, right? It's
there's just something very, very, very sort of, I don't know, kind of spiritual about it, isn't there? Mm. It's just those the purity of those voices is really, really, really nice.
And Dante Gabriel Rossetti there giving you one last reference to bleakness in the
midwinter. That's true, yes.
Wow. Yeah. Will's on the trifecta.
Mr. Bleak.
No, not at all, Will. I just kind of going down here, marking what you've beaten. Come on, you can liven up. It's going to be fine.
I like Slade.
Yeah. Don't we all, though? That was rather beautiful, wasn't it,
Georgie? That's the sort of thing, 100%, that Mum and Dad Rogers would put on Christmas morning.
It's total Mum and Dad.
As we're shuffling into, going eat our body weight in food.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's an enduring image.
Yeah.
That's the kind of thing that you have on and you don't realise it's been on repeat.
Yeah.
You've had it on, on there.
Three and a half times.
Yeah. And you're kind of like, we had this on before. But in a really good way.
It sort of makes me think of, like a really, really old CD player, which is covered in like food stains, and it's like only just works. And it's been there since 1982.
Yeah.
It's like this spiritual home, I think, of this album. And I mean that in a good way.
And the CD's still in there from last Christmas.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's that kind of thing. It's like you say, it's just on. Everyone likes these songs. It's beautifully done, and it's totally reassuring.
Well, it's beautiful stuff, as recommended by Will Hodgkinson. That was Christmas Carols with Libera, and he chose In the Bleak Midwinter. Georgie, yours is Lucy Dacus. Tell us a little bit about her.
Yeah, just as Christmas covers go, you can't really beat the originals a lot of the time. So one of my favourite Christmas tunes is Wham! Last Christmas.
Yes.
Because it does everything that you want a great Christmas song to do. And so I got this in my inbox and I thought I'd give it a listen and thought I would probably go after 10 seconds. And actually, I thought it was quite a well done cover. So Lucy Dacus is she's an American indie singer-songwriter, and you can sort of file her. She's pals with Phoebe Bridgers and Julian Temple. They're in a group called Boy Genius. You can kind of file it next to Snail Mail, Angel Olsen, Laura Marling, Elliot Smith kind of vibe. And she has done an EP, and she's covered some absolute classics.
There's some good Springsteen on there.
Yeah, the Dancing in the Dark cover by The Boss is amazing. The Phil Collins In the Air Tonight is also really great. And then this one of Last Christmas. And she just knows her way around the cover. She's kind of, revered tunes, but she puts her own slightly indie edge to it.
Yeah.
And I just rather liked it.
Well, let's have a little bit of Wham's Last Christmas, courtesy of Lucy Dacus. Beautiful stuff. It's Lucy Dacus bringing us to the end of this year's Christmas musical special. Thank you both very much indeed for your wonderful choices. Will, do you want that hug?
I wouldn't mind.
Okay, well, I don't know how we're going to do it on mic, but Georgia, should we help him out?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good. It's going to be nice. Thank you to both my guests, Georgie Rogers and Will Hodgkinson, and of course to my producer, Holly Fisher. We'll be back at the same time next week when we'll be discussing the new Imelda Marcos documentary, The Kingmaker. But for the time being, for me, Robert Bounds, thank you very much for tuning in.